This is our first Wednesday night service since we had the last service at right after the fire at the hotel, Jack's Hotel. And we gathered and we worshiped and we prayed. And, we had to stop meeting on Wednesday nights because of the pandemic and just recently got back on Sundays. And so we've been doing the online Wednesday night, as many of you know, and Wednesday night live. But with what's been going on in our nation, I just really felt the need that we needed to come together and pray. We were talking in staff meeting about everything going on from the horrific murder of George Floyd to the response to that, which has been horrific, and all the situations around the country and cities where there's, some people there peacefully protesting, others there just to riot, others there to cause trouble, others there just to loot, others there to get in fights and to fight the police. And we have lots of law enforcement officers in our church, and we're concerned for those guys. I talked to Chris Barker, and he said he was in Dallas, just got back today, and he said, "We experienced terrible things there in Dallas." And he said somebody got killed last night or the night before. And he said, they're destroying things. And it's just a mob of people. That's pretty scary to be around that. But, we were talking in staff meeting and said, well, what can we do to make a difference? And the thing that we can do to make a difference is to pray. Because God has promised in his word that if his people will pray, then he will hear from heaven, and he will answer, and he will heal the land. And so we have an advantage over unbelievers in that we have a personal relationship with God through Jesus, and he has promised to hear our prayers. And as we get started tonight, I wanted to read that familiar passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is the Lord coming to Solomon the second time after Solomon dedicated the temple and sacrificed so many animals and the glory of the Lord fell. It says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 11, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I condemn the locusts to devour the land, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name," that's us, we are his people, we are called by his name. We're not Old Testament Israel, but we're his people. And I think this promise does apply to us today. "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We have problems in our nation that are far too great for any politician to handle, any group of men in Congress or in the Senate or on the Supreme Court, to come up with a solution, to come up with a plan. We are experiencing what happens that's recorded in Romans chapter 1, when a nation doesn't want God anymore, God gives you over to your own devices, and we're experiencing that. But just as Abraham, when he prayed to the Lord and was talking to the Lord concerning Lot and concerning Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, he said, "Lord, if there are 50 righteous, you won't destroy the city for 50 righteous." And the Lord says, "No, I won't destroy it if I find 50 righteous." He said, "Lord, what if the 50 are lacking 5? He said, "I won't destroy it if I can find 45. He said, "Well, Lord, what if there's only 40? "I won't destroy it if I can find 40. He said, "What if 30? "Won't destroy it if I can find 30. "What if 20? "Won't destroy it if I can find 20. He said, "Lord, I venture to speak just one more time. What if 10? What if there are only 10 righteous? And he said, "I won't destroy the cities if I can find 10 righteous. And God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim because he couldn't find 10 righteous. We have more than 10 righteous in this room. And so we can make a difference as we do what God says to do. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. It starts in the heart, in your heart and in my heart, to get our hearts right with God. The scripture says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But if I deal with the sin in my own heart, then God will hear, he will answer, and he'll bring healing to our land. Now listen, I know that this is the gym floor and it's difficult in the gym, but if you're able, let's start off tonight just on our knees asking God to do a deep work. Father in heaven, we come before you because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, and because we have turned from sin and repented and put our faith and trust in Jesus, we can call upon your name and we can call you Father. And we know, based on your word, that we're your people. We belong to you. And you've put your spirit inside of us, and your spirit cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Lord, we cry out, Daddy. We've seen the horrible things on television in the last week or 10 days or whatever it's been. We've seen brutality that just is beyond comprehension. We've seen retaliation that's been horrific. We've seen innocent people get wounded and murdered and destroyed and their property destroyed. And Lord, it just seems like everything's just totally out of control in America. We've gone from a pandemic that shut us down to now this situation that has us just at each other's throats. Father, as we have a prayer service tonight to ask you to heal our land, Lord, it starts with us humbling ourselves before you, and that's why we're down on our knees, because we desperately need you, Lord. And Lord, just like that song says, in my hand no price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, if it were not for grace, we couldn't call upon your name. But there is amazing grace for us. And you've told us to boldly come before your throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, I pray right now that you'd search our hearts to see if there's any evil, wicked way in us, if there's a sinful attitude, if there's lust or bitterness or envy or strife or greed or racism in our hearts. God, that we would get it out, that we would confess it as sin, that we would get it out of the shadows and get it under your blood. Lord, we want to be clean and pure before you. We thank you that if we walk in the light as you yourself are in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus, your Son, cleanses us from all sins. So Lord, that's how we come, humbly, broken, confessing our sins and the sins of America. Just as Daniel confessed the sins of his people, we confess, Lord, that we've turned our back on you. You who are the author and giver of life, we've worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who's blessed forever. God, we ask you to forgive us for that. We've gone our own way and we need to go your way. We've rejected the fear of the Lord and we desperately need to return to the fear of the Lord. God, do a work in us. Do a work in our hearts and in our homes and in this church and in this community that would spill out into the communities around us from this region to the nation, to the world. Lord, we want to make a difference. And we know we can make a difference in prayer because you promise that you'll hear from heaven, will forgive our sin, and will heal our land. Lord, bring an end to all the turmoil, to all the unrest, to all the anger, to all the hatred, to all the fighting. God, we don't know what to do, just as Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You're the problem solver. So Lord, we ask you to bring the solution, to bring men and women, boys and girls, to brokenness, that our nation, our world would see how desperately we need Jesus. See, the answer to the problems of this world are found in Jesus Christ. And through repentance and faith, we can have a relationship with you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the cross and the empty tomb. We ask you to bless this prayer time with your presence and with your power and with your answer from on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want us tonight to think about our governmental leaders and the difficult job that they have, and we want to be praying for them. There's many scriptures that talk about the necessity for us to pray for our leaders. I want to read a couple of them. Romans chapter 13 is a good one. Verses 1 and 2, it says, "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." And then another one is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right." I confess to you that I have to repent of, I don't always have the best attitude when I think about our leaders, our governmental leaders. I have my own opinions, and sometimes I don't have the best attitude when decisions are made that I disagree with. Even in our own town, in our own local government, when this pandemic was starting, and we were starting to get the orders for shelter in place, and then that was lingering, and we weren't seeing the numbers that were projected, I felt very frustrated. And I voiced that a lot in my household, how frustrated I was with the shelter in place continuing. And I was very frustrated and had my opinions on that. And I was sharing those a lot. And my 17-year-old, who wanted to go out and be with her friends, and I was telling her she couldn't go out and be with her friends, but she heard me complaining a lot, said, "Well, I guess I can go be with my friends, right? I guess I can go spend time with them." And then I had to teach her this lesson. I had to humble myself before her and teach her this lesson that we have to submit to authority. And your dad has not had a good attitude about it. I need to have a better attitude about it. But we have to submit to the authority that God has put in place. And I don't see Mayor Bob, but I really appreciate you. And I appreciate all of our local leaders. And then we also want to think about our state and national leaders, and we want to definitely pray for them. We want to pray for President Trump. I mean, could you imagine the responsibility that he has and these other leaders have? Huge responsibility. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to keep praying for them. Pray for Vice President Pence. Pray for our governors, Texas Governor Abbott and Arkansas Governor Hutchinson, and senators and representatives and city mayors and all of our leaders. They need our prayers. And we need to be careful in our attitudes and our thoughts towards them. And so let's take this time, let's take this opportunity as we've gathered together to pray specifically for these leaders to have the wisdom that they need to make the decisions that are necessary in this time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your sovereignty. We thank you, Father, for your plan and for the fact that you are never caught off guard. We thank you for the fact that you're never surprised, that you are in complete control. And God, we believe that you have put the right people in place for such a time as this. And we know that they have an enormous, enormous responsibility. And so, Father, we pray for your wisdom and discernment give our leaders guidance and direction with the racial diversity and the dealing with the pandemic and the economy and all the different struggles that are before them. We lift President Trump to you. We are not his judge. You know his heart. You know where he is at. Father, he needs your guidance. He needs your direction. He needs energy from you. He needs strength from you. I pray, Father, that you will protect his family. I can imagine what they're thinking and feeling in this time. Draw them closer to each other as a family. Help them to support one another. Give him wisdom as he leads. I pray for the counsel that he has put around himself. People that are speaking truth into his life. I pray that he will be able to hear that truth and make decisions based on that truth. I pray that you will give those counselors, those pastors that speak into his life, I pray, Lord, that you will give them wisdom in knowing what to say and how to speak to this leader. Give him humility. Give him all that he needs to lead in this time. Lord, we lift our vice president to you. We thank you for his faith that we see. And we pray, Lord, that this faith will guide him in his decisions. And he will be a strong support to the president. And that you will help him in all of his authority. We lift our governors to you, Abbott and Hutchinson and all the other governors. We lift to you that have crucial decisions to make with the pandemic and fighting against the riots, trying to protect people. An enormous responsibility that they have, but we lift them to you, God. We pray, Lord, again, that you will give them wisdom and discernment as they lead each individual state that has so many differences. And Lord, we pray for our local community city leaders. Help them. They give so much time. They work so hard. They get so much criticism. And Lord, I pray that they will just feel your peace and even joy as they lead. We thank you for them, God. Help us to remember to continue to pray for these leaders. Not to be critical, before we want to be critical, to pray. Thank you, Father, for our church. We believe in you. We trust in you. We know that you can do all things. There's nothing that is impossible for you, God. And we come before you and lift these leaders to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. You know, when God created the world, he did so with order and not chaos. He brought order out of chaos, and he didn't mean for it to stay in a sense of bedlam and things like that. And over the centuries, we've seen laws and we've seen enforcers of the laws come along. And, you know, they enforced the laws, even in the Wild West. And if you like Western movies and things like that, the lawmen, you know, when they rode into town, things were going to be all right. And we've always had those good guys to look up to. And, you know, little boys and girls wanted to be policemen and firemen and things like that. Our law enforcement officers were well respected. And people stood in awe of them and grateful appreciation of them. But it seems like there got to be some bad apples in the barrel. And we know what happens when that comes. It just ferments and it causes all the rest of them to be tarnished. And that's what we've seen in our society. We know that the vast, vast, vast majority of our lawmen are good and ethical people that have the best interest at heart. But we see this small minority that can cause such ruckus and such pain. magnificent strife. And, you know, we have, as Jeff mentioned, we have over 20 law enforcement officers in our church family. And we've tried to make sure every one of them has a copy of this, and it's the police officer's Bible. And I think it's interesting because in this, it has a series of topics for policemen, like, and it gives a scripture, when you face physical danger, when you're discouraged, when you're afraid, when you want to take revenge, when the devil comes after you, when you feel weak, and on and on and on. There's a whole list of things that are feelings that we have. And that emphasizes to me our law enforcement officers are human like we are. They're subject to temptation like we are. And let's face it, we're in spiritual warfare. Do you believe that? And God has created order and our authorities that are in place above us. But Satan wants to ridicule that and to corrupt that and to tear that down. And so we need to pray for our lawmen that they'll remain men of integrity. Now, those of you that know some of these guys in our church family know that they're certainly not perfect, but they're cream of the crop and their motives are good. They're kind and they're brave and they don't have a score to settle. And they suffer abuse. When I was growing up, you never thought of a policeman being talked back to or anything like that, you know. There was respect, and now we don't see that respect for authority, and our law enforcement officers certainly need our prayers of protection as they face the difficulties of this world. Now, I was talking to one of our young men that used to be a part of our church family, and he was on the front line in Dallas. And he told me, he said, you know, as I was firing the canisters of tear gas, he said, a tear ran down my face. And I said, oh, so the tear gas got in your own eyes. And he said, no, I was shedding a tear for our country that it had come to this, that our law enforcement officers had to be doing those type of things to their fellow men. And so we need to realize they're men and their women who are likened to us in so many ways, but they've been called to lay their lives on the line to protect us and to give order and safety. And when a child sees a law enforcement officers, they would run to them for a sense of comfort and security and not flee from them. So we need to pray that I think that God would give the leaders in these law enforcement agencies wisdom to get rid of the people that are bad and to love and focus on those that are good. You know, I have several of the law enforcement officers that are kind of like my own kids in a way. Here's the prayer I pray over them every day. Be strong and courageous, you know. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, but the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. These guys are not robots out there with, gun protection on them or anything. They're fellow believers and people that are trying to do the best to protect us. And let me encourage you, even as you see law enforcement officers around our community, be they local or state, and we have so many communities, within our own area, there's so many different police departments. When you see one, thank them for what they do. Let them know you're praying for them. And one of them told me that a man came up to them at a restaurant, put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Son, I want to pray for you." And that touched his heart so much. And I think if we can, you know, express our gratitude as well as our prayer support to these men and women, it will mean so much. Well, let's do pray together. Heavenly Father, how special it is to come here tonight with these people who are concerned for our community and concerned for our country, concerned for our world. There's a common denominator here, Father, that we all know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring peace in the midst of confusion and chaos. And Father, tonight especially, we thank you for our law enforcement officers, those men and women who feel called to fulfill that calling of looking after people, of keeping order, of being a place of security where people can run, and being there to protect us in our homes, in our highways, and even in our own churches, Father. We thank you that there are so many that are called out, but we know there's so many that are leaving that profession, Father, because of the lack of respect and the turmoil that they see. And Father, we confess, we know that there's some bad guys out there. There are wolves in sheep's clothing, Father. And we pray you'd expose those just like you did in Minneapolis, Father, and they'll be removed and they'll be punished, and that right and order might come back into play. And Father, we think of the hundreds of thousands of lawmen around the world, and we know they're not robots. They're not invincible. They're men and women with feelings of fear and of discouragement and feeling unappreciated and being frightened and all these things, Father. They're a cut above in that they're willing to step into danger, not run from it, but to run toward it. And so we pray for their physical safety. We pray you'll make them wise and discerning, that in the instant they have to make a right decision, Father, you'll give them that knowledge that they need. We pray for their families, Father, for the husbands and wives and children that are at home. Our hearts break when we see pictures, Father, of a young father or a young mother who has been killed in the line of duty. And what a sacrifice. And you tell us, you know, what greater love hath man than this, that he lay down his life for his brother. And I pray that as a church family, we'll not only pray for these men and women, but we'll also express our love and appreciation to them. We'll know their journey is often lonely, and by many they're seen as the enemy. And yet, Father, they're here to protect us. And I just pray that each one of us will find an opportunity to express that love and that appreciation. I pray that each one of us might, whether we've ever done it before or not, Father, might pray for our law enforcement officers. Even if you just start with those that are in our church family, Father, the men that take up the offering and that run security and that sit next to us in church and in Sunday school, Father, and what a privilege we have to be amongst them. And I pray you'll give them self-esteem, and that you'll cause them to know you've called them to a profession, Father, that's so important and so much a part of the way you designed this world to be run. And we just thank you for them, for their sacrifice. Give them good names, give them good reputations, cause them to be seen as your agents. And we pray these things now, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. You know, as a church, as a group of believers, we can be encouraged that we are a part of an unshakable kingdom. What we represent as believers in Jesus Christ, his church, we can look into the world and we can see turmoil, we can see confusion, we can see chaos. But the church, this is the place where we've been given clear instruction. This is the place we've been given clear guidance. And isn't it interesting that every issue that the world seems confused on, God has already spoken? So I hope that even as we look at these challenging times, that you and I can be encouraged that God's already spoken on this. As you're having conversations with friends and family members, I hope that you will take them to God's word. And you say, you know, when it comes to race, I can go to Ephesians chapter 2, and I can see where the Jews and the Gentiles were not getting along. And the Apostle Paul, he said, now, remember that you were at one time separate from Christ. He says, but now in Christ, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And for he himself is our peace. When everything else is shaking, believers in Jesus Christ and his church should be unshaken, because God has already spoken. And we know that we are one family. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, now we were all in the same category. We were lost. We were without hope. But Jesus Christ made the difference. And so when we come into this house and when we go represent him out into the world, we say we're representing one race. We can be sympathetic. We can have compassion. And yet at the same time, our ultimate goal as believers is to say, thus saith the Lord. The very issues that we're facing, God has already spoken. It's interesting that I can turn one page to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 28, and Paul says, he who steals must steal no longer. So the looting and the lawless, God's already spoken. Now the interesting thing about this challenge, when I read Ephesians 4:28, he says, he who steals must steal no longer. He said, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with somebody else. So Paul says, instead of stealing, I want you to do something good. I want you to work, and then I want you to bless somebody else. So as we think about racial reconciliation, as we think about the lawlessness that is taking place in our land, the best place you and I can be in making a difference for Jesus Christ is to think biblically. And if you and if I will think biblically and apply God's truth to the matter at hand, now we invite his power and his presence into the circumstances to make a difference. You see, the agenda of the news and the agenda of the world is different than God's agenda. We have to continue to remind ourselves. We have to continue to refocus and reorient our minds. We're not operating from the same agenda. So what are we going to do? We're going to ask God to continue to search our hearts, because we want to think biblically about race. We want to think biblically about what's going on in our culture. And with whatever situation, because there will be more. There will be new circumstances. There will be new challenges that come our way. But we will be ready to put the word of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel, apply it to those circumstances, and then watch God move. In these uncertain times, we have an opportunity to see God move and do some amazing things. So as I lead us in prayer, you pray with me that God uses these circumstances to bring harmony, to bring peace, and that you and I, that we would lead the way in thinking the right way about these issues, thinking biblically, and then applying those to our conversations, to our actions, to our responses. Because we're all living testimonies to the fact that God's word transforms circumstances. God's word transforms lives. When we allow the Holy Spirit to speak, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this incredible church. And God, we acknowledge that we don't have it all figured out. We haven't said all the right things. We perhaps haven't done everything the right way. But one thing we can say is that we've been consistent about seeking you. So we're thankful tonight. We're thankful that you can use broken people to do amazing things. And God, we're thankful that in whatever way we've fallen short, your grace has been applied. God, we need to go deeper in our relationship with you, and expressing that to our community and to our world. So we do say to you, God, search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. Are we thinking rightly about our relationships with others? You have been good to us, God. You have been so good to this church. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for his leadership. We thank you for his commitment to your truth, to your word. God, we don't want to get sidetracked. We don't want to get caught up in worldly thinking. So give us wisdom. Wisdom to see people as you see them. Ways to show love where people see you at a deeper level. God, we want this to be a place where anyone could walk through the door and feel loved. But God, we also acknowledge that there's pain right now in a lot of hearts and in a lot of lives. And we know the foundation of that pain is sin. Sin leads to pain. God, but we're so encouraged that no matter the pain, no matter the sin, you are the healing balm. You're the ointment. You're the surgeon. You're the one that can take all the broken pieces and put things back together again. So we appeal to you to do what only you can do, to take brokenness and make something beautiful of it. God, my life is a living testimony of how you can take all the broken pieces and put them back together again. May we never lose sight of your power and your ability to bring about newness. And God, I pray that we would continue to search our own hearts. And any wrong view that we might hold, you'd make it right. We are so thankful for your saving power, God. And we're thankful that in the middle of these circumstances, that you have placed us here to make a difference. We want to represent you well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When I was a teenager and a young adult, I had a reputation in my family as being the fun one and the one that could always see the good. My sister got married and she wanted a child so bad. And she and her husband had been married for several years and they just never had any luck in her getting pregnant. And finally she got pregnant. And a few months into the pregnancy, she suffered a miscarriage. And she was at Wadley in the emergency room. And I went up to the emergency room. And when it was my turn to go back there, back where she was, after they had done the procedure, I walked in the room and I said, "Lene, I don't know what to say." And she looked at me and she said, "Well, whatever you do, don't tell me to look at the bright side." And I thought, but there's always a bright side. There's always good. No matter what, there's always good. I believed that. That's the way I lived my life. But somewhere along the way, that all started to fade. I don't know what happened exactly, but I became a little critical. I became a little judgmental. I became a little frustrated. And unfortunately, it was those days when everybody saw me as always being able to see the good, I didn't know Scripture. But the older I got and the more Scripture I learned, it seemed to be the more frustrated and the more critical and the more judgmental I became. And so when this whole pandemic hit, and we had the fire, and then we were stuck at home, and the job that I'd been called to do, I could no longer do because there were no children for me to stand before. I had to ask the Lord. I said, "Lord, okay, I'm trusting you, and I know that if you haven't done this for anybody else, you've done it for me. So, Lord, you need to open my eyes to what it is that you want me to see in all of this. Show me the lesson that you want me to learn in all of this." And he very clearly said, "I am good. I am good." And you don't see that much anymore. And guys, I'm telling you, and the staff is getting tired of hearing me say this, but the sky has never looked so blue. And the clouds have never been so full. And the grass has never been so green. And the flowers have never been so vivid to me. And I see that there will be good. There will be good that comes from all of this. And I'm not saying that because those are my words. I'm saying, just like all these gentlemen that have been on the platform before me, it's God's word. He has promised us that it's going to be good. It's going to be good. In Jeremiah, he says in Jeremiah 29, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity. I will restore your fortunes. And in Psalm 91, he says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life, and I will give them my salvation. And then in Isaiah, he says, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. And in Romans 8:28, he says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for him. It's going to be good. It's ugly now, and it's painful now, but it's going to be good. Let's pray together. Let's. Dear God, you are so good. You are so good, and we believe you're going to take all of this stuff that looks so ugly and feels so painful, and you're going to turn it for good, because you promise that you will. Lord, we're claiming the good plan you declare for us in Jeremiah 29. We are trusting that you will rescue us and be with us in our troubles like you promised in Psalm 91. We're longing to see the beauty from the ashes and the festive praise you claim for us in Isaiah 61. And we are believing that all things really do work together for good to those that love you. And Jesus, we really, really do love you. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Father, in your precious name. And we look forward to those good days. Amen.
Amen. You might be thinking, well, what can we do as a church to make a difference? You know, the scripture is clear what we're supposed to do as a church. We're supposed to speak the truth in love so that we grow up into all aspects into him who is the head. And God wants us to make disciples and grow disciples. That's the Christian life, to shine, to share, to bring people to a knowledge of Jesus and help them grow so that they can make more disciples. And so in these days of unrest, in these days that where you just can feel tension, it's an opportunity, as Marcus said, the Lord is our peace, and it's an opportunity to make an impact. And when things are the worst, that's the time that the Lord can really step in. And hopefully, in America, we're starting to see that we're in trouble. And we need God. And the Lord is, he will answer us if we cry out to him. And so, let me encourage you, just as we get ready to close out, we're going to close out with a song, but let me encourage you to just start off every day and just say, Lord, I need you today. I can't do it on my own. I need you in my life to be working in my life. Jesus, you who live in me, live through me. When I was at a conference years ago, Adrian Rogers, it was one of the last conferences he ever did before he went home to be with the Lord. But he was talking about something. It was kind of just a side comment that he made at this little chapel service before our session. And he said, you know, when I get up in the morning, he said, I do this thing called PACE. And he said, it's an acronym. And he said, it doesn't take very long, but it sets my day on the right path. He said, I get up in the morning, and as I'm going to the restroom or going to the bathroom to do something, he said, I'll lift up my hands and I'll praise the Lord. And he said, I just lift up my hands and praise and say, God, this is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in you. He said, I take time to praise the Lord. He said, it doesn't have to be long. But then he said, from praise, I turn to acceptance. He said, I turn my hands in and I accept God's love and I accept God's grace and I accept God's forgiveness. I make sure my heart is clean, that there I'm not holding on to any sin or any grudge or any bitterness or anything evil in there. And I say, Lord, your blood washes white as snow and I accept your acceptance of me. And then he said, I turn my hands this way again. He said, from praise to acceptance to surrender. And C stands for control. And he said, I just yield control to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I want you to be in charge of me today. And I surrender, not my will, but yours be done. And then he said, E stands for expect. And you expect a great day. You know, as Stephanie was saying, hey, God is good. And so when I know that I'm praising him, that I'm receiving his love, that I'm surrendered to him, I can know that, hey, today's going to be a great day. There might be some difficulties. There might be some hardships in my day. That tragedy may come. But I know that God is in control. He orders my steps. And today's going to be a great day. Hey, I want you to look for opportunities. Say, God, use me to make a difference in this situation. And when you see someone different from you, different race, different color, that's a good opportunity to let that person know that you love them and that you care about what's going on in their lives, to be sensitive to what's going on around us. I still believe that Martin Luther King's dream needs to come to pass. He said, I have a dream that my four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And that we would see people for those for whom Christ died, and we would see their character. My friend Pastor Reed posted on Facebook the other day, he said, if you can't get past my color, you're never going to get to know my character. And Kenneth is a great guy, and he has a great character. And I'm proud to call him my friend. And so there are opportunities around us here in Texarkana and beyond for us to make a difference. So let me encourage you to just really seek the Lord. I'm talking to myself, that we would say, God, use me to be an agent of peace and reconciliation and to speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. Quinn, will you come up and lead us in a song? Thank you so much for being here tonight. And we just really felt impressed with all that's going on to just gather and to do what we did tonight, and that was to pray. So thanks for being here.
I want to invite you to stand, and let's invite the Lord's presence. He's already here, but invite the Lord's presence to be with us even as we go out into our community, knowing that we serve a great, great, great God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, in complete control, not surprised by anything that we're experiencing right now, and is able to take care of every single bit of it. And we can go through the rest of this evening, tomorrow, all the rest of the week, in faith and confidence, knowing that He goes before us. He makes the way for us as we follow Him on that path. Sing with me, How Great is Our God. The splendor of the King is clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Sing this out. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands. Godhead three in one, the Lamb. How great, oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. Sing that again, how great. God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Father, we declare your greatness in this place tonight. God, as we leave here, we go about our lives. Father, we go with confidence, knowing that you go before us. God, help us to have our spiritual eyes open, our spiritual ears open to opportunities that you give us to speak truth, to speak in grace, and God, to show the love of Jesus with everybody we encounter. Father, we thank you that we can have faith in you because you are a great, great God. We believe you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming tonight.